podcasts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A third night of massive anti-ICE raid protests are winding down in Los Angeles. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
It is completely locked down. You easily have hundreds of police officers staged throughout the area. Thousands of protesters yesterday. They've since been dispersed this morning.
President Trump fueling demonstrators' ire when he ordered in National Guard troops. Police in San Francisco reporting 44 protest arrests there. The president's new travel ban on 12 countries begins today. CBS is Torian Small.
The idea behind this, according to White House officials, is to tighten immigration controls because they say this is a national security concern.
Ukraine is reporting the largest Russian overnight drone attack of the war so far. CBS's Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
Ukraine says Russia launched nearly 500 drones overnight, but the Air Force destroyed more than two-thirds of them mid-flight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers did a pop-in at the Dodge County Jail. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Representatives Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore made a surprise visit to the lockup to check on ICE detainees. That's according to WISN 12.
We have congressional prerogative to do an unannounced visit. In fact, I think a requirement, really, morally, to do an unannounced visit to these facilities. Dodge County Jail is the only ICE facility in Wisconsin, so we went to go there. It took about an hour to get us into the process because I think, you know, it was unannounced, and we gave him a letter from the Appropriations Committee from Rosa DeLauro, who's the ranking Democratic member, that explains the law. They got the sheriff there. We had a conversation with him. But there are no ICE officials on premises. In fact, they come every 3 weeks.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt gave them a tour, but said he couldn't let them talk to the detainees because the jail only houses them under a federal contract. Pocan and Moore said they were frustrated by the restrictions and want to ensure detainees are being treated well.
Gas prices fell slightly over the last week, dropping 1.7 cents to land at $2.95 today. This is 3 cents higher than a month ago and over 27 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. We aren't the only state where prices declined. Officials at Gas Buddy say refineries have ramped up output and gasoline supplies surged. There is an overall gentle downward trend across the country as summer progresses. Officials say if oil prices continue their gradual rise, gas prices could be impacted, but we shouldn't see any major shifts in the week ahead. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.78 to $2.87 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh. And Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
In golf, the team of Darren Clark and Thomas Bjorn, the winners at the American Family Championship at TPC Wisconsin. Steve Stricker's team in second place, but says he's looking at a possible MRI for some injuries. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible today. Our high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber, and we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, June 9th, 2025. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is on the way. We'll talk to State Senator Chris Larson a little later on this hour as well. But first off, it is time once again for the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Done statewide around the network four times a day. You can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every time you enter, it puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a little vacation getaway in Wisconsin Dells or in Door County, some gas money to get you there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So get that Civic Media app, places like Apple and Google. Go to one of the stations on the app and use the text button to send us the keyword. So here we go. For this hour, the prize is $100 cash, and the keyword is lawn, L-A-W-N, lawn, L-A-W-N. You have until the end of the hour to text that. Then you'll have new chances to play with new keywords at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. And again, this hour's keyword is lawn. $100 is the prize. But that pales in comparison to the prize we have here with the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot to give us the forecast for this week.
Hey.
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Much, much better this week. How are you guys doing? I missed you.
Well, great. We missed you too very much. But we welcome you back on a rainy day over here in the Chippewa Valley. And I guess we're not going to be talking drought this week at all.
No.
You know, I mean, if anything, maybe for a day tomorrow. But otherwise, it's what's the word I used on Friday? Unstable.
Unstable.
Yeah. Kind of has that because you just didn't know. Is it going to rain here? Is it going to rain there? And that is that kind of what we're facing here for a little while?
Unfortunately, yeah. We're going to try to figure out when we can get that lawn cut in between all of these chances for rain this week. So we've got a roller coaster of temperatures as well, spots of sunshine, chances for thunderstorms. So here's what's happening this morning. Right now, it is 48 degrees in Phillips. It is 59 degrees in West Bend. So we're in those upper 40s to low to mid 50s all across the state. There is sun shining in far southeast parts of the area, clouds far northwest, and it is raining right now into central Wisconsin here in Owosso as well, with a low pressure system overhead draping a cold front through the state. So it's going to be a damp and dreary day today with on and off light rain chances for a good chunk of the state this morning. Then it sparks back up and some small storms are possible later this afternoon, and they could still continue into this evening as well. So an on and off damp and dreary day, mid 50s far north to mid 60s far south. So still stuck in that cooler air. And as we go through tomorrow and Wednesday, a high pressure system starts to settle in. So we will start to dry things out. We will warm things up to the mid 60s far east tomorrow, mid 70s far west. And then we're going to continue that warm up to near 80 degrees on Wednesday, before another low pressure system brings more wet weather for the rest of the week.
Basically, we've set the table for amazing growth of things.
Yes.
All the things that Kristen planted this year and all the landscaping is just going to grow like, I was going to say grow like weeds, but I spent the day weeding the landscaping. So no, the weeds don't get to grow, but everything else. And I like the way you put it about the lawns, because that's always one of those things, you know, you have weeks like that where you're like, can I go now?
Right.
You know?
Can I squeeze this in before it rains again? Will I make it?
Is the grass dry enough before the next round comes in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's going to be the problem this week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, otherwise wait till Sunday.
Okay. Kristen, are the boys taking care of the landscaping and the lawn adequately while you're, you know, working during the week?
I sure hope so. We've developed a strategy where I have asked them to send me a picture and then I make a judgment instead of just relying on their judgment. We'll see how this works.
On the lawn?
Yeah.
Did you put like a ruler in the ground or something? So you can say, well, it's 3 1/4 inches.
Are they changing the height of the mower?
Can't you just tell? Like, you know, you look at it, you see you have a pattern. It's like looking at a ballpark. You've got the pattern. You start to lose the pattern, it's time to mow. Right, Rob? I know Rob's listening. Rob's expertise.
Yes, he is. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 53 with rain just west of me. Saturday, I had 2 yards to mow. Then my niece Elvie's graduation party and birthday Sunday. Tigerton had 1/2 inch of rain. And when I went to church, my car, Molly, got a car wash while I was in church. He goes on to say that this weekend I watered the flowers for Tigerton Main Street. He also says, unfortunately, in my area over the weekend, we had a rash of mailboxes and road signs being knocked down and stolen, especially stop signs. It costs the county and township money to replace these things. Yeah, don't do that. Don't be a jerk. Rob says, it was great to see Brittany again. She is a Wisconsin legend, and so is Pat and Kristen. All three of you gave some wonderful birthday wishes. That was the highlight of my birthday.
Oh, Rob.
How nice is that? So thank you very much. And he says it's starting to rain again in the Tigerton area. So again, that's the theme this week. You know, we'll just be dodging these things in and out and do all right. So do you have much, Brittany, for, you know, flowers or landscaping or any green thumb activities?
I love to do that. I have a ton of plants inside, but I don't have a lot of green space outside to do so. So not this year, unfortunately, but I'm huge into trying to grow some veggies, the pretty flowers, anything. I love it.
Kristen, are you flowers or like veggies as well? Carrots and things, tomatoes.
Right now I just have a small garden box, but I'm actually a master gardener, so I've grown it all.
Wow.
She's a master gardener, folks.
Jeez. Wow. I didn't know you were big time like that.
Jeepers. All right. Gotta make a note. Start the garden segment with Master Gardener, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Garden Talk with Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, boy. What makes Sherry a happy camper, though, is that there on our back deck is basil and there's mint, because that girl loves a mint julep. And when you got, you know, when you're growing the mint yourself, that's wonderful. And is oregano easy to grow? Because I don't like basil so much as I like oregano. And like, I would add that to foods.
I mean, try it.
My mom has it.
That's your master gardener recommendation? I mean, try it. Okay.
Well, it's not hard to grow. It's just, you know, are you good at growing things? I don't know. Maybe ask Sherry to grow it for you.
Well, I could. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that.
She could put it next to the mint.
Yeah. Brittany, I've got a story here on the Up North News website about summer camp. Did you ever do summer camps as a kid?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was a Girl Scout, and then I also did the horse camps all the time. I loved horseback riding, so they'd send me away for the summer to a horse camp.
How long, when you say send you away for the summer, how long would you be gone?
It felt like the whole summer. It was probably just a couple weeks, to be honest.
Kristen, were you a camper?
Mm-mm. I mean, we'd go camping.
No. I mean the summer camp thing. Yeah, you didn't do that? Okay. Mm-mm. Parker?
Yeah, I did for a couple of summers. I was doing a tennis camp that was actually in Whitewater. Ooh. So, yeah.
A tennis camp. So athletics.
Yeah.
So we got themed camps as well. Okay. Just wondering about all those. I'm going to tell folks about the web store in a minute here. But Brittany, thank you so very much. Nice to see you again. Have a great day.
Too.
We'll see you again next hour for a little update on that forecast. So get your s'more sticks ready, because summer camps are kicking off, and they're not just for kids anymore. Whether you're looking for a day trip, a cozy cabin weekend getaway, a full-on wilderness retreat, there is a camp somewhere that'll let you unplug or try something new or just relive the best parts of growing up in Wisconsin. Some camps offer a more traditional summer camp experience with fire pits, archery targets, time on the water. Others let you tap into your creative side with arts and crafts. And so on our website, there are six summer camps for adults that you can check out. And again, the cost varies on this, so we're just going to give you the description only here. Let's see. There's Camp Wandawega in Elkhorn, which has Airbnb cabin rentals with camp-like amenities, fire pits, private beach, fishing pier, tennis courts, archery. There's the Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona, a one-day adult camp with games, crafts, and friendly competitions. There's the Woodland Dunes Nature Center and Preserve in Two Rivers, hosting three afternoon camps this summer, each with a different theme, ranging from arts and crafts to outdoor hikes. Let's pick one more here. We'll do, let's say, the Clearing Folk School in Ellison Bay, week-long camps for grown-ups with opportunities to learn quilting, wood carving, or painting while living on-site, meals included. Kristen, I'd ask if any of these appeal to you, but you do like just camping. You and Craig just take, you still got the pop-up, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. I just like to be in the wilderness. But if I could just put a plug in for Camp Wandawega, apparently it is lost in time. I have friends who go there every summer. And it is this place where you go. They want to set your expectations low. There's no technology. There's none of the fancy bells and whistles. You go there and you are just camping and it is delightful.
Oh, it actually sounds really nice. I don't know that I can really unplug like that, but
maybe you should.
Yeah.
Maybe. It would help. Time. It would really help.
Tony says no one else went to church camp. Is that more of an Ohio thing? Oh, no. You know, Luther Park is a big one up here. There are many religious theme camps up in northern Wisconsin, Jewish, Christian, otherwise. But Rob in Tigerton says my summers were working on the farm as a kid. And that's why when I met Sherry and she had no interest in camping and still doesn't, she says, you have to remember on a farm, your goal was to get indoors at the end of the day.
Yes.
Not fair. To sleep yeah. outdoors. Let's see. Alicia says, Dr. Kreitlow's welcome to harvest the mint someone planted in my garden before I bought my house.
Oh.
So she's got extra mint to share. And finally, back to Tony, who says, I like camp, sit on my couch.
That's a good one.
It's a fine one from time to time, like when a Brewers game is on or something like that. Speaking of which, I had to work to find the Brewers games over the weekend. The Saturday night one turned out to be the national game on Fox, which was fine. But, you know, you first go to the FanDuel Network and you see they're doing, you know, a show about baseball trading cards or something. You're like, where's the game? And then yesterday's game, I looked on Fox. It wasn't there, not on FanDuel. Didn't see it anywhere in my TV guide. I'm like, I know this is on TV someplace. And finally I looked it up. The Roku channel.
Yeah.
I just can't do this. All of the jumping around and searching things, it's just too much. It's too much effort.
It's not fun. They didn't make it as easy as it could have been.
No, not even close. But let's see. What else did... I've got from Allison Cudahy on the text line. I have an oregano plant that is at least 18 years old. It's a perennial, no care needed, easy peasy, Alice writes. So
thank you,
go.
Alice.
Yes. So maybe that's where I got to go from here.
It's a perennial. If you put it in the ground, it'll keep coming back.
I know. That's
low maintenance. That's what you like.
I do like low maintenance. There's enough high maintenance things in my life right now. So I would be just
like sports.
Yeah, there is that. Just trying to find the game. And so, of course, to do that, I had to watch a game that ended with a 1-0 score, a Manny Machado home run for the Padres. Why? Why Manny Machado? If anybody's going to beat you. But, of course, it was. And so the Padres take 2 out of 3. The Atlanta Braves come to town now for a 3-game series tonight, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And coverage begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations across the network. And tune in to civicmedia.us to learn more. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Winter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for Agriculture Night, Saturday, June 14th at 6:35. Presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center, Agriculture Appreciation Night features farming equipment, displays, and exhibits to show the impact of agriculture on our everyday lives. Specialty Ag Day jerseys that will be auctioned off after the game. Rafters Baseball Agriculture Night, June 14th at Winter Field, presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome all to WFHR's Rapids Report. Show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Big shout out to our new sponsors. We appreciate the gang at Crockett Septic. And we appreciate our guest today. Joining us right now, as he has every month for so long now, Representative Scott Krug on the phone with us. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm glad you mentioned it. It's been a while now, because I'm trying to think back to the very first conversation that I had in the old studio with Carl, and it had to be right before election in 2010. So what, wow. That's 15 years ago already?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. I loved the conversations you and Carl had. They were fantastic. You guys always had good conversations. And we appreciate that you've always made the time to do these things. Know that we weren't able to hang out last month, but we both get busy and schedules and all those things. And honestly, this is something I say to you and Senator Teston, even Sheriff Becker, when you're not able to be here, that the day job comes first, and you know, that's all right. We encourage that, of course. We understand that around here. But with
I know, but I mean, this is the day job part two, though. I mean, you know, honestly, it sucks when I can't make it work. But you know, this is the stuff that's more important than sitting in the Capitol, though. So I want people to know that, like, if something comes up and it just doesn't work that month, it's not like it was meant to be. It was really a struggle to try to fit it in and make it work, and sometimes it just doesn't. But this is probably more important than sitting in the Capitol, actually.
Appreciate that. And Scott has proven that over and over again, to the point where we've done many interviews with you sitting in like a Quick Trip parking lot, just so you can get the call in and everything. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
I wanted to take some time to focus on a couple of big things that you've been up to in the last couple of months, one of them being the Wisconsin Fast Forward Grant. Can you tell the listeners about this? I really find this encouraging.
Yeah, so Fast Forward is something that we created way back in like the 2013-2015 state budget, and it's just something that we've been really working on, right-sizing the whole time too, just trying to get more more involvement of youth in various different workforce opportunities throughout the state of Wisconsin. So it's a, you know, a skills development program, a worker training group program, and there's little bits of it of retention for current employees, some training for new people. So it just, I think it's been our best answer to the struggles we've got with our changing demographics at the state level, is just trying to make sure that A, we're able to retain people, B, that we're able to, you know, develop skills for people who want to move up to a new job, C, that we create internship opportunities across the state. And it's been really highly successful and pretty bipartisan every time we've gone back to the pool here to try to beef it up a little bit more. So we're spending some decent amount of money trying to make sure that the workforce is trained and ready for 21st century jobs, knowing that as fast as we go, AI is passing us up left and right, and it kind of causes us some struggle and grief when we focus so much on computer science and engineering jobs and fast forward in our university programs, and all of a sudden AI starts gobbling those jobs up quicker than we can respond. It does get tough. So, I mean, that's the point of fast forward, is trying to keep up with technology and keep the workforce as trained and ready as possible.
Some of it also, some of the intention does feel like also doing a little bit of catching up. I don't think that Wisconsin is behind on certain things or anything, but there are some areas that we haven't necessarily gotten on, you know, like a lot of the surrounding states have and everything. So there's a little bit of that to it that I find encouraging as well.
Yeah, I think the main reason we actually created Fast Forward way back in the day, like I get to say as an old timer now, is, you know, we saw the challenges and struggles with the paper industry coming a long ways away, right? We knew the aging demographics were changing the workforce capabilities and availability. We saw all the closures happening at the end of the, you know, 08, 09, 10, 11 years. Anticipated some future ones that happened, of course, to us here in Rapids and other areas, and tried to make sure that we understood that those people who were in that workforce at that time, whose skills were not diminishing, but their jobs were going away because of technology and different opportunities and different innovations, that we wanted to make sure that people who are dependable and reliable have every skill set they would ever need to achieve success in any workforce setting. Because any employer will tell you this, you know, whether it's in the service industry or whether it's manufacturing, as long as they have employees who are dependable and reliable, they can teach them just about anything. So we wanted to make sure that everybody in our workforce who fits those two categories already can just get the skills training they need wherever they might end up.
One other note on this that I thought was noteworthy about it. When we were kids, I don't know about you, but I know the first time that I heard about like a Coach Alvarez for UW, and he had a pipeline to in New York, and he had a pipeline, of course, to Florida and to here in Wisconsin, and how important that was recruiting-wise and all of that. It pops in mind when I was first reading about this years ago, and even just bringing it back up now, about how important that is for states. And Wisconsin certainly one of those states that is important to keep our local talent and keep people in-house, in-state here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly what happened after the first iteration of Fast Forward, is you started to see a lot of chambers, like here in Wisconsin Rapids, where they went to the heavy metal bus tours for the eighth graders to get out to manufacturers and start introducing kids to different opportunities within their communities. So when government money is free for things like Fast Forward, that these kids who have an interest can match it up with availability of training, and that pipeline is built. So, I mean, it's turned into a very massive workforce development project. So we keep going back every state budget and looking at ways of making it better or getting rid of different, you know, pathways that just, you know, kind of fizzle away because of technology or changes. But you're never going to see a shortage in nursing. You're never going to see a shortage in CNA training. You're never going to see a shortage in trying to beef up manufacturing. So, I mean, those things that we know are going to be time-proven, we try to invest a lot quicker in. And at the same time, like I mentioned, on the AI side of it, we're really trying to develop a training and a pathway that our tech schools and our universities and Fast Forward can all work together to capture this new growing change in our world.
Mm-hmm. You recently, somewhat recently, you had a public hearing on SB 156. This is the bill requiring first responders to be trained to administer EPI delivery systems. This has a lot to it, a lot of depth to it and everything. I wanted to take a moment to talk about this, Scott.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You Make the Difference. That's the title of a national initiative launched by the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, having an impact on county fairs near you. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's right, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions working to try to help uncover the value that county fairs bring to their community. Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association, says so far it's been well received in Wisconsin.
All 74 fairs of ours completed the information needed for the survey, and we turned around and offered a grant option for all of our fairs. We gave them a $1,000 grant. And they all submitted that so that they have the option to contact IFE. And if they want to purchase an economic impact study just on their fair, they could do that for $1,500. And we're, you know, covering the majority of the costs if they want to. And if not, then use it to update something else on your fairgrounds that can help you show what the economic impact is.
Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association. Some of the takeaways from this You Make the Difference national initiative should help county fairs when it comes to finding that next volunteer or that next fundraising effort. They'll all come back together January of 2026 and share their notes.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide, enter the Real Results Yield Challenge, and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And young farmers in Wisconsin face unique challenges, and they wanted to share their story. Last week, 24 of our Wisconsin young farmers under the age of 35 took time away from their farming operation to share their stories. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist event had them speaking to legislative leaders as well as USDA staff. While there, they also made a trip to the Mexican embassy to talk about trade dynamics and Mexican markets. More details on that story and others available now. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible today. Our high in the low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Seems like a good time to remind you that we have a keyword for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest that's still out there that you can text to us before the end of this hour. And the word is lawn, L-A-W-N. Again, lawn, L-A-W-N is the keyword for $100. And that's this hour's prize. Plus, you're in the running for those grand prizes, a stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, some gas money to get you there. And every entry this hour and all the other hours puts you in the running for that grand prize as well as the hourly prize. Again, do that. Text it through the Civic Media app. And we'll do this again 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. And again, that's part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Brewers are taking on Atlanta in a three-game series this evening and then again tomorrow evening and then Wednesday afternoon. Coverage this evening begins at 6:05. That's at stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, so we are waiting on Senator Chris Larson, who's going to join us. And I know that I had another note or two I wanted to share about things that you could find on the Courier Newsroom website, because a whole lot of new shows have been posted there and newsletters. We've already mentioned Nina Burley and her newsletter, American Freak Show, about all of the laws that are hostile to women being passed in the state of Texas. We talked about Mark Jacob and his Stop the Presses newsletter and the need to focus on the consequences of what Donald Trump is doing, and not so much the circus and the antics itself, but what it means to real people. Well, there's also a new video series out by Courier Newsroom, and it's called How Is This Better? It's a Courier production with Akilah Hughes, and it covers everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. How Is This Better challenges the grifters who are controlling our government, our attention, and so much of our daily lives. And let's see, I wanted to look at some of the excerpts from the most recent one. Oh, yeah, here it is, about Mark Zuckerberg. Akilah writes, once a hoodie-wearing coder preaching openness and connection, Mark Zuckerberg is now a gold chain-wearing, jiu-jitsu-practicing metaverse warlord who is vibing with Trump-adjacent influencers. How did this happen? Akilah Hughes digs into Zuckerberg's transformation from the early Facebook years through his big metaverse bet and even his chicken nugget-eating macho phase. And I wish I was kidding about that, but unfortunately, I'm not. Ryan Broderick, the host of Panic World and the author of Garbage Day, and tech reporter Stephen Levy, journalist and author of Facebook The Inside Story, join Akilah to break down this evolution. As you'll notice in her new series, Akilah is always asking the question, how is this better? And wondering if Zuckerberg still cares at all about making the world more open and connected, or if he even really did. How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes is seen on YouTube. You can watch or listen on Spotify as well. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, or you can watch right from the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com. All right. 7:39 right now, and again, we're hoping to have Chris Larson here in just a bit. There have been a lot of activity among Democratic legislators introducing bills that may not necessarily pass, but again, give you the opportunity to see who's working for you, who's standing with you. And we'll also be talking on Thursday to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. She's the Senate Democratic leader. One of the packages that's out there that Senator Chris Larson and Representative Lisa Subek introduced would require firearms to be securely stored, either in a locked container or with a locking device engaged when a child resides or is present in a home. seems pretty common sense. The bill comes in the wake of a tragic incident that took place on May 28th in Madison, where a six-year-old child was critically injured in an accidental shooting. The child accessed an unsecured firearm that had been left unattended by an adult caregiver. Subek wrote that children need to be safe wherever they are, at home, at school, visiting a friend's house. That safety is jeopardized when firearms are left unsecured in homes when kids are present. This common sense legislation takes real and practical steps to keep children safe and prevent these tragic, entirely unavoidable situations. Firearms are, of course, sadly, the leading cause of death among children and teens in the United States. According to the group Every Town for Gun Safety, nearly 360 children unintentionally shoot themselves or others each year. That's one a day. And an estimated 4.5 million children live in homes with at least one loaded and unlocked firearm. And the least we can do is, you know, take the measures that are common sense and would guarantee children's safety. And if you can't, the consequences are there, you know, death, injury, and now legal consequences as well. So we'll have more to say about that package of bills. But there's also another package out there about trying to counter the negative impacts from the actions of President Trump and his administration. There are attempts to unlawfully defund public programs, to hold back funds that have already been approved by Congress, interfering in the civil rights of Wisconsinites, jeopardizing the privacy of some of the most vulnerable people in the state. And that all goes against the nature of what state government should do, which is the essential work of governing, providing vital benefits, funding our schools, and satisfying, you know, all the other obligations that come with solving the big problems that we have from day to day. And so that package of bills has been, again, introduced by Senator Chris Larson and several assembly representatives. And we'll be talking to Senator Larson about that and also to Senator Hasselbein coming up on Thursday. Again, all part of a session that should be focused mostly on the state budget. But unfortunately, the state budget is at a bit of an impasse right now. And apparently, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend, and again, trying to blame Governor Tony Evers for being unreasonable, I guess. Apparently, it's unreasonable to want to adequately fund our schools and fix our roads and expand broadband internet coverage to all of our families and our small businesses and schools and farms and everything else. Governor Evers made clear that, you know, he already met them halfway on their demands for tax cuts that would not go exactly the way that he would want them to go. But he understands that in a budget negotiation, you sometimes don't get everything that you want. But Republicans would not meet him in terms of, you know, the spending that's required to properly support all the things that I just mentioned. And that's pretty intentional. You know, again, we're talking about lawmakers who at best want to do the bare minimum. And many would not want to do the bare minimum. They would actually like to cut many of these essential services. They'll tell you they don't. I mean, look what's happening in Congress with Medicaid, where, again, Derek Van Orden, President Trump, all the others, they don't have the guts to say they want to cut Medicaid. I mean, Ron Johnson is at least telling you what he wants to do. He wants to take away your health care because he says government has no business doing that, even though he doesn't have any other solution for the health care crisis in this country. But you've got, you know, again, Trump and Van Orden and others saying these are not cuts. These are not cuts. We're just reining in spending. They're cuts when they are intentionally putting in roadblocks for people to access the benefits that their tax dollars paid for. And that's exactly what's happening in this state budget as well, is legislators that would love to see cuts to public education and then take your hard-earned money and put it over into vouchers so that families wealthier than you, who might even have a lower tax rate than you, can then get some of your money to send their kids to religious schools. We're seeing that happening in more and more states, and there are people here who would like to see it happen in Wisconsin. So I give the governor points for saying, look, I'll try to meet you halfway. How about you do the same? And Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux and the others in the Republican side of the legislature just aren't willing to do it. There's a new study out from the sports blog Deadspin that ranks sports fans' bucket lists. Believe it or not, Lambeau Field is on that list, but only at number five, Parker.
Five?
Ahead of that is, let's see, there's Madison Square Garden in New York.
Okay,
yeah. There's Yankee Stadium in New York. There's Fenway Park in Boston. And there's Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Okay, I have heard very mixed reviews of Wrigley Field.
I have been to Wrigley Field and to Fenway Park. They both have this thing in common. They were both built in 1912.
Yeah.
Which means they also have this thing in common. They look and feel like a park, a ballpark.
Built in 1912.
Built in 1912, you know.
Yeah.
Try as they might, you know, you can't. I'm not saying that everything has to have that new stadium smell, but that old stadium smell, that's
it's getting old.
Something I can do without. Let's pop Jimmy Koska up early since we're getting into this. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Doing great. How's it going, guys?
Well, good. I don't know if you heard us talking about it or not, but Deadspin ranking Lambeau Field as fifth on the top on the list of bucket list experiences for American sports fans after Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden. Having been to most of those, I mean, the bucket list clearly must have been designed by, or they ask people who haven't been to these things and they say, what would you like to go to that you haven't been to yet? Because I think if it was people who'd been to all these, don't you think that list would look a little different?
I think it would. I think with all the recent updates that Lambeau Field has had, it's become much more of an experience for people. I think the Packers have been really smart in recognizing that the experience of Lambeau is pretty unique to a stadium experience just anywhere in the country. With all the history, with everything that's happened there, they've been really, really smart to capitalize on that. There's a lot more in the way of access to like historical things. It's a much more family-friendly sort of tour that you get. I really think Lambeau should be at the top of the list. I just think that's a destination for people. It's a big reason why we got the draft here this year. So
yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that, Jimmy. And I want to talk to you in just a little bit about some of the high school postseason stuff that's going up. And the Packers have parted ways with a player that we want to talk about as well. So, Jimmy, you stand by. And then I want to bring up Senator Larson just long enough to apologize to him. I didn't get a proper link to him in time to come join us for this morning's show. Senator, I apologize about that. And I've only got a minute left in this segment. But I did want to get you on long enough to say why you've introduced these recent packages that you have about the Trump administration and things like that.
Yeah, happy to be on. It's officially Monday morning. No worries about it, Pat. but essentially, the main reason we're putting these out there is there's a recognition by legislators, and I think sometimes we get phone calls and definitely getting people coming up to us in the public saying, hey, what are you doing about the stuff that's happening federally? What's happening with the Trump administration? And responding in kind. So they've threatened a lot of different sources of funds that are used for grants. They've threatened the universities. They've threatened K-12 public education if they refuse to abide by whatever it is, whatever made-up standard they've got.
And so somebody's,
this is a way for us to push back on that.
Exactly. And so some of our stations are going to cut away for a local update. Others will stick around here. We'll spend a couple of more minutes with Senator Larson, then we'll bring Jimmy Koska back in as well. But for others, you've got a local news break coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Scott, also wanted to speak with you about you recently. The Wisconsin legislature considered workforce-focused bills to improve program accountability, re-employment outcomes, unemployment insurance, and integrity. What was discussed there? How did that go?
Well, you know, just again, we're kind of in this realm where the workforce is changing so darn quick, and we're trying to figure out ways to right size it where government isn't seen as the hammock in some situations, but we want to try to, you know, reiterate to people that there are plenty of opportunities in the community to get out and go find other employment opportunities if they get, you know, downsized or you know, outdone by a computer in their work field. Mm-hmm. So working on the unemployment stuff and working on these other things just to try to make sure that everybody knows opportunities exist, that nobody's going to be left in the lurch, but also that we are there to have everybody's back to make sure they can get in the community and get reemployment opportunities as quick as humanly possible. It's all about rapid attachment, and the quicker that we can get people to understand where the opportunities are, there's no shortage of people that want those opportunities. It's just the lack of being able to know what resources are available that causes gaps in the workforce. It's not because people are lazy. It's not because people don't want to work. Because they just can't find where those resources are if we don't amplify that message a little bit more.
And one other thing I wanted to touch on before we get into the budget talk with you, Scott. Last month, you had a campaigns and elections meeting. You, of course, are the vice chair of the committee on campaigns and elections. You guys had some bills that we went over and tackled. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, campaigns and elections is still, you know, my target area. I know being in leadership now, I've got a little different role overarching on it, but I still think, you know, not being the chair of a committee lends me to be able to write bills that can actually go to that committee now. So now I've taken on a different role in that committee by just becoming a somebody that brings the bills to the committee and gets to argue in leadership that the Senate should take it up. So I think a lot of the things we're talking about still early on in campaigns and elections are bipartisan ways that we can just get rid of some of the perception problems we have on our election system in the state of Wisconsin. The one we just heard this last week was, I think, probably the most important one we've heard so far, was the idea that right now, when we go to change the Constitution, I get so many phone calls from people saying, hey, this is not my ballot. What does it mean? Like, you know, we had to go back and actually, you know, put together a bill saying, hey, when we're putting together these referendum questions, I get that the lawyers have to write them because that's just the legalese of the world today. Mm-hmm. But there should also be a process when we put together these memos or these ideas on a ballot that there should be some plain language definitions on what it actually means to the voter. So AB 207 is an example of what that does. It basically says, okay, if you have a constitutional question on the ballot, every polling place, every publication for, you know, the requirements to get it out to the public also have to have this disclosure statement telling people in plain language exactly what it is and what we're doing. And we could argue all the details of it in committee as much as we want. Some want us to add a little more language to say it should be an eighth grade reading level or things like that. But I think just having the legislators on a committee actually discussing what the plain language summary should be to everybody in the public before they vote, probably a really good idea instead of all of us having to guess what those things mean on a ballot. Yeah. Making sure that there's not a double negative question on the ballot, making sure that it's the easiest to understand. I mean, three of the last four were relatively easy to understand, but there was one last August, I believe it was. It was just so confusing. I didn't even understand it. Yeah. And I, you know, after sitting on the committee, you know what it's supposed to be, but when it gets written in legalese, nobody can figure out what the hell it is. I mean, we're just trying to right size and common sense some of these things. So that's what AB 207 will do. And I think that's one that should get, it's got really good bipartisan support in our communities. It just doesn't seem to have it at the committee level right now. And I told the bill author, I said, when you can get a bill that's supported by the Republican legislature and it's also supported by the ACLU, I think you might be onto something. So I think we can get home on this one.
So, Scott, one of the things that I couldn't agree with you more about this one, one of the things about it that I think stands out. So when you say, I can't imagine why there'd be any pushback to this, is the pushback not so much against the bill, just more being more wording about it and some of that. It's not so much that they just want to kill this idea or anything. It's more so just want to make sure that it's right.
Yeah, I think so. We had a lot of conversations yesterday between Lee Snodgrass, the ranking Democrat, and I were talking through it all day yesterday. We'll talk through it again today. That's what Leah and I have done the last 3 years. Is it's not that she hates the idea. It's just the way that we're going about it may be different in her opinion than our opinion. But, you know, we've got to, you know, we kind of go through and listen to all these groups that come in sometimes, too. So the clerks, obviously, being the biggest one, they're the ones that answer this question 1,000 times more than I do every time when somebody comes to the polling place and says, I don't know what this means, can you tell me? Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at a bill, and we have as much conversations as we do about every single bill, you know, I always tell people, it's like, you can't let perfect get in the way, you know, can't let perfect get in the way of the good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get to an exact perfect answer because there just never is one. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if we can get the, you know, disability rights groups there, League of Women Voters are okay with it. The local voting groups are all good with it. And I think it's just trying to get the governor to say he's okay with it is about the only challenge that's left now. I know that I'd love to have everybody in the committee vote for it, but if I have a couple that don't vote for it in a committee, that's neither here nor there. I think the votes are there to pass it. It's just a matter of getting the governor to be comfortable with it at this point.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Representative Scott Krug. And Scott, it is budget season, along with many other things. Let's get into that a little bit. How is that going?
It was going pretty good, I'd say, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, we had a little bit of a slow start to the process, trying to make sure we had some negotiated agreements before we go into it. You know, you may remember last budget, we got the document through the legislature, put on the governor's desk, and he did put together that 400-year veto that kind of caught the legislature off guard. So it created some issues with trust.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A third night of violent anti-immigration raid protests in Los Angeles has wound down. Demonstrators clashed with police as President Trump ordered in the National Guard. CBS's Elise Preston is there.
I was in the thick of the protest when at some point pepper spray was deployed. I heard several rounds of rubber bullets being fired into the crowd and saw people being taken into custody.
Police report dozens of arrests. The president's new travel ban on a dozen different countries begins today. CBS's Torian Small.
A lot of these places were the target of Donald Trump's ire on the campaign trail. So places like Venezuela, Haiti.
U.S. and Chinese negotiators scheduled for a round of trade talks in London today. Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
New figures show China's exports to the U.S. fell nearly 35% last month, year on year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.